day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to find the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here's your host, Glenda Lincas.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lincas, and today we're going to be talking about reasons why we don't pray. But before that, I want to talk about some stuff that's been going on in the body of Christ that I've been getting reports of and I've observed. I talked about these on a video that I made recently, but not everybody watches me on YouTube, so I don't want y'all to miss this information. Here recently, there have been many and some very intense physical attacks on believers, meaning attacks of sickness and pain and that sort of thing. When they can't get to the believer, they're attacking people that they care about, people close to them, even pets. In my case, it happened to one of my pets. Actually, it happened to both of my pets alternately. Intimate betrayal, what I call absolute betrayal, is on the increase, so watch out. Imagine the person that you love and trust and feel closest to most of all in your life absolutely turning on you. That kind of betrayal. I'm talking about life-changing, mess-up-your-head betrayal. Those are on the increase. That's why God had me write that book recently, The Jesus. There is a purpose to betrayal happening in your life. And He had me write about that in that book, which I never knew before God told me. So, God is calling us to a higher level of purity, to walk in more holiness. I'm getting a lot of mail and email asking me questions about sex, all of a sudden, out of the blue. I don't usually get any emails like that, even over 6 months or a year's time, and all of a sudden, I'm getting them like every day. I don't know the answers to y'all's questions, the people who wrote me, so I did answer you and tell you that, but I would say be guided by the Holy Spirit through your conscience. If it bothers you when you do something, there is a reason. And there is a reason why you feel that in your spirit. It's because the Holy Spirit is telling you that something's wrong. Now, one thing that Jesus did say to me years ago, and I can't remember what I was praying about or what He was talking about at the time, but He said, anything that is against the natural use of something is rebellion, and it brings a curse. Rebellion always brings a curse. Anytime you use something that was meant for something else in the wrong way, it is rebellion, and it brings a curse on you. So be aware of that. Keep that in mind as you make your decisions. Okay, also, my good friends Jay and Sue Hudson, they minister a lot in the areas of sexual things and sexual immorality and that sort of thing. You can contact them. They have a lot of revelation in these areas that I don't have. And any contact that you make with me about Pride Ministries is confidential. And you can call them on their ministry line and talk to one or the other of them. By the way, they both flow in the prophetic quite strongly sometimes, as a matter of fact. Okay. The Lord has been speaking increase and enlarged territories to many of His chosen ones lately who are being obedient. And I mean, doors are flying open. So if you've been getting that, you're in good company. Just want to tell you that. And it's very encouraging to people who've been laboring in the harvest for a long time and not seeing anything happen. Okay, so let's get on with the show. Let's talk about reasons why we don't pray more. Y'all know a lot of people ask me, you know, how do you hear God speak? And I don't see it as a big secret because I've kind of always been able to hear Him. And it's all about relationship. And it's about where God ranks among your priorities. And many people tell themselves and tell others that God is first place with them. But I want to ask you a question. If I looked at your actions today, would I see that God is first place with you? Where would I see He is at on your list of priorities? If I listened to your conversations today, if I played them back right now, where would I see that God is in your priorities? As you arrange and go about your daily tasks, where does God end up on your to-do list? Come on, church, let's get real here. How badly do you want to hear Him speak? Because this is what it's about. Y'all know my husband Jerry is in prison. In prison, you're told what you can do, and you're told exactly when you can do it. Jerry cannot just call me on the phone anytime he wants to. There's about two real small time slots when his cell block is allowed to use the phone. And they have to wait in line sometimes up to an hour behind 20 or 30 guys to make one 15-minute phone call. So that means if I want to hear from my husband, I have to make myself available when he is able to call me, because I cannot call him back. And if I miss his call, I can't call him. One time when he was in a different prison and he could only make one phone call a weekend, one time I got our time zones mixed up and I missed his phone call. And I was just sick because he couldn't call me. I couldn't hear from him until the next weekend. I have to make myself available when he is able to talk to me, because I cannot talk to him just any time I want. And he can only call me in those short times and only for 15 minutes at a time, and only if he can get through the line while the phones are still turned on, and only if they're not on lockdown that day, and only if the phones are not broken. So there's a lot of conditions. I can't control the conditions on his end, but I can control the conditions on my end, can't I? I can make sure that my phone is charged up and turned on. I can make sure I'm available to take his call. I move other things on my to-do list to make time to talk to my husband. If I'm talking to anybody else when Jerry's call rings in, I quickly disconnect from that call so I can talk to my husband. Why? Because I want to talk to him? Sure. I do want to talk to him, that too. But that is our time together each day. And right now, that's the only time we have together. Because my husband is a priority to me. My marriage is a priority to me. My husband is very important. And I know that our calls are also very important to him. He spends the rest of his day in a very dark environment full of evil and violence. Our phone calls put him mentally at home with me and our dogs for 15 minutes. In those small time slots each day, he also has to work in his calls to his family in Ohio. So Jerry has to also prioritize. How often do you think I would hear from my husband if I didn't bother to make time to talk to him, to take his calls? If I only gave him a thought every now and then, or maybe when I needed something from him, I made sure that my phone was charged up and turned on. If I did not make it a priority to spend that time with him on the phone each day, or if I didn't get off of other calls to make time for him and nurture our relationship, tell him how much I care about him and ask how he's doing, how his day is, to listen to what is on his heart. You know, when my beloved mother passed last year, she left me a glider rocker. It's really old, it's all scratched up, and the cushions desperately need recovering. But it's the chair that I always sat in when I visited her apartment, and I love it. That chair is in my living room, and it has become my prayer chair. It is where I sit each morning to spend some time with the Lord. And it sits in a well-lit corner of my living room with tables on either side that hold whichever Bible I'm currently reading from, my devotional, a photo of my son that I cry out for each day, my prayer list, and a notebook that I write everything God speaks to me in. I've been praying in that chair for months. Now, because I have set this priority each morning to seek God, because the Lord knows that He can count on me to show up there each day, now, whenever I go and sit down in that chair, away from the internet, no TV on, He shows up immediately. I can immediately feel the presence of God. Isn't that a cool thing? This same thing happened when I used to pray twice a day at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. at the old house across town. I met God in my bedroom then. I would get up, I'd go make a cup of coffee. That'd be my morning routine. Grab my prayer list. Go and shut myself into my bedroom, and God would show up. And I had all kind of things in visitations, visions, all kind of stuff going on. Because every day he told me he wanted an hour in the morning and an hour at night. And I said, okay, we're on it. That was our time together each day. We need a special time that is only us and God every single day. It needs to be quiet and private so we can pray, we can praise him, we can worship, we can express our love and adoration openly to him. If God is really a priority for you, you will do this. If he really isn't, you won't make that time, or you won't keep it each day. I personally find I just cannot function without it, no matter how busy I am. One day last week, early in the morning, everything just started going haywire. I got a bad report at the veterinarian, all the different stuff just started, one thing after another started happening. Almost got in a car wreck, I mean just one thing after another. And as my day spun out of control, I tried not to panic, but I went into react mode. React mode is when you're basically putting out fires. When they, here comes a fire, put that one out. Okay, here's another one, put that one out. And you're just reacting. You're no longer in control of your day. Have you ever heard of a controlled burn? Back in the days where there were a lot of prairie fires in the plains where I live, to prevent a fire from coming to where your log cabin was, you would go out and do what was called a controlled burn. You would burn a fire line. You would burn a fire, and you would run it in a certain line, and you would control it so it didn't get any further than you wanted it to, but you would burn a strip so that when the other fire got to you, it wouldn't have anything to burn. It would run out of fuel. React mode is when your day is not a controlled burn. It's just burning down, okay? The enemy's just burning down your day. And it's when you start trying to put out this fire and then that one, and at the end of the day, you look back and you've accomplished nothing. For a workaholic like me, that is just unacceptable. I cannot stand to hit the end of the day, accept my day of rest, and see that I've accomplished nothing. I just can't bear it. Because, you know, when you spend all day reacting to things, all you did was you kept the fire from burning the house down along with everything else. And you're exhausted because you've been in fight or flight mode all day on top of that. At the end of that day, I realized with great unhappiness that I had neglected my prayer time. No wonder my day went out of control. The devil saw the door open and he ran through it. As the old saying goes, hem your day with prayer and it won't come unraveled. So let's talk about why don't we pray more? Why do some people not pray at all? Okay, why did I not pray that day? I didn't pray that day because there was a storm going on around me, and that storm got inside me. I didn't feel calm, so I didn't sit down and pray. When I sit down in that prayer chair to pray, I'm usually very calm, got a cup of coffee, got my prayer list, you know, and I look forward to it because I know I'm going into a time of great peace where I can feel God's presence, and I know God's going to speak something to me, sometimes something for me, sometimes something for all of us. Once in a while, he won't. There are occasional days when he doesn't speak anything. But the majority of days here lately, he's spoken. So sometimes we're not calm. There's a storm inside of us, and we're just not calm, so we don't pray. But the truth is, the more upset we are, the more we need to pray. We need God's peace. We need to go to him and say, Lord, I've got this going on, and I need help. Please help me with this. Take over this. Some people don't pray because they don't understand how to pray. Matthew chapter 6 gives us a model prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. That prayer basically gives you a design of how you should pray. The disciples went to Jesus and said, tell us how to pray. Prayer is pouring out your heart to God. No matter what is on your heart, pouring out your heart to God. You know how, if you get with your best friend, how you just tell them everything that's been going on, good and bad? God wants you to do that with him. He wants you to just come to him and say, Lord, you know, I feel this way about this. You know, I've got this going on today. I'm really not sure that's going to, you know, just anything that's on your mind. He wants you to bring all the big stuff to Him and all every little thing. Lord, I need help fixing my hair today. It's not looking right. Whatever. He wants to help you with everything. Okay, a lot of people don't pray because they don't think God will answer. Lack of faith. But let me tell you something. God does not answer 100% of the time when we don't pray. Okay? He will not answer 100% of the prayers that are never prayed. Any prayer you don't pray has zero chance of being answered. So at least pray. You have not because you asked not. That's what the Bible says. Some people don't pray because they know that they've been sinning and they don't want to go face God. Well, God's the only one who can help you with your sin. He's the only one who can forgive your sin, and He's the only one who can help you stop sinning. 1 John 3:20 and 21 says, "For if our heart condemns us," that's what it means when you go to pray and you feel guilty and you feel like, "Oh, God, don't want to hear from me because I did this or that." It's, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence for God." In other words, we know we can go pray and talk to Him. But we are commanded to cease to pray without ceasing. So we're supposed to pray whether we've been doing bad stuff or not. Sorry about my voice, y'all. The devil tries to keep me from recording all the time, don't he? Satan, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we don't pray because we're battle weary. We're stunned by, you know, we've taken a direct hit lately. We've been hit 2 or 3 times. We're on the battlefield and we've had 2 or 3 arrows hit us and we're just kind of in shock. But again, we need to go to God and draw strength so we can keep fighting. And more attacks land if you haven't been in prayer and put your armor on, from Ephesians chapter 6. We don't pray because prayer is not a priority for us. We just don't think it's important, so we don't do it. That's not a good place to be, y'all. I wasn't able to find that statistic again that I mentioned on a recent show, and I can't remember which show it was on. But I looked up, I think it was research by the Barna Group, and I think what it said was the average Christian, and the majority of Christians, something like 80 or 90%, pray 5 minutes or less than 5 minutes a day. That's just sad. So that means, you know, if I get a bad report at the doctor, I expect God to heal me, I expect God to bless me, I expect Him to protect me and protect my children, and I'm giving Him less than 5 minutes a day? Really? That's not going to work, y'all. There is no relationship you can build on 5 minutes a day that I know of. A quote that I found on a blog by Greg Laurie's wife, Kathy, said, "In the Wall Street Journal, a Nielsen study reported that in 2010, Americans spend 63.5 billion minutes on social networks and blogs." So how much time do you spend on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, YouTube and different stuff like that? Another Nielsen study indicates that in an average case, we do have the time to pray. Someone put it recently, "One of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time." Hello. And as Greg Laurie has often quoted, prayer is not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done in the earth. And you know, we have not because we ask not. But a lot of other people might not have not too because we don't ask for them. So my point is this. You want to hear from God, you want to be able to hear God speak, you got to build a relationship with Him. And you have to nurture that relationship. And you have to make it the number one priority in your life. You're going to have to hate evil and hate sin and not allow them into your life or your home. You're going to have to make time for God every single day and go aside with Him and show Him what He means to you. I make time for my husband every day. When my mother was alive, I made time for her every day, had for years. Is He your God every day? Do you expect Him to be there for you every day? Okay, then. You must make time to talk to, pray to, and listen to God every day if you want to hear Him. Every day that we don't, what we're doing is we're showing God that He's not first place with us. We show Him every time we fail to pray that He is not our priority, that He is just an afterthought. Is God just an afterthought in your life? Because if He is, it's unlikely you'll ever hear Him speak. You have to make Him first. You must respect His great power and His great name. And you must surrender your life. every day that you do not make time for God and go aside and pray, you lose blessings. You lose wisdom that you needed for that day. You lose guidance that you needed from that day. You may lose protection, or people you love may not have protection that day because you didn't appropriate the blood of Jesus in prayer. All of that stuff's done in prayer by faith. Prayer is not a small thing. It is a priority, and it has to be a priority in your life. Father, I lift every listener to you within the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that you would remind every single one of us early in the day to seek you, early, Lord, and late, because your word says seek you morning, noon, and night. We need to seek you all the time, Lord. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to not fail to pray for others, Lord. We don't want to miss your plan or your blessings, Father, but we also don't want to miss telling you how much we love you, how much we praise you, and how much we long to see you face to face. Help us, Lord, in our weakness to do better. We need your strength, and we need your wisdom for the times we're walking in. And we need you to reach out and touch those that are unsaved, that we love, Lord, and all the ones that we don't even know yet. We need you to pour out your love, your mercy, and your truth on them, Lord God. We need you to pour out repentance on them before it is too late, Lord, because time is drawing to a close. We have entered the final age. Father, I praise you. I thank you so much for the privilege, Lord God, of doing this show, and the privilege of every person who listens. I pray that you would bless them abundantly, Lord. Most of all, I pray that you would bless them with revelation and a closer walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I hope this show has been a blessing to you. I pray that you will remember to make time for him every day as you go forth this week. You will see miraculous changes in your life if you do. God bless you. Have a great week. I want to play a song composed and sung by my good friend Jay Hudson called The Vine. I think you'll really like it.
Let the Jesus, you are the God.
For tuning in to hear Glenda Lucas on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Lincus, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or non-profit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke through the right to wilderness companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.